Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining me today. And I would like to continue on sharing some truths about the new covenant. And as I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, I wanted to share four different major areas that as God's people, we need to have a knowledge regarding this covenant, this new covenant. Covenant that Jesus established in His blood. It's the four areas are the commandment of love, the union of God and man, which was brought about by the new covenant, the role of the Holy Spirit, as well as our power of attorney, which is our right to use the name of Jesus. In John 14 and 13, these are the very words of Jesus. He said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And He said, "I'll do it." John 15 and 16 says, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you." Now that's very exciting, and we need to understand what the Lord is saying and what He has given us with that kind of authority and ability to use His name. Let's not get to heaven and find out what we could have been. So now let's look at the four highlights I shared with you regarding the new covenant. First of all, and very importantly, remember Paul said as he wrote 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, that great love chapter, nothing surpasses or supersedes love, the commandment of love. And when we look at these, if you will, highlights of the new covenant, we have to understand we do have an adversary, Satan, and the third of the angels that went with him as far as rebelling against God in the very beginning. And let's face it, he is a dropout from heaven. Jesus said he saw Satan falling from heaven. And, you know, think about this. He was in the very presence of God. What a sad, pitiful situation. What a loser if you can't make it in heaven. But he rebelled. What was his besetting sin, if you will? That pride that filled his heart. He was perfect in beauty until the day that iniquity was found in him. We're to have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 and 5 said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so we need to understand what are the important things, the truths that we need to lay hold of in terms of this new covenant. Obviously, it's important we grasp that. Otherwise, if there wasn't a new and a better covenant, we would have remained in the old. Jesus specifically said that He came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill it, but He established a new covenant. Consider what was important in the early church. And of course, this is really the message of the book of Revelation, the seven churches which are in Asia. That consists of today primarily Turkey. It's the area of that was being addressed in the churches, the seven churches that are mentioned in the opening chapters of Revelation. And in Revelation, the second chapter, the Lord is talking to the Ephesian church. They had left their first love. Now, what He rebukes them for is not doing the first works. In John, the 14th chapter, verse 23, Jesus said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." So if we really love Jesus, we need to do what His word says. That's the mark. If we say we love Him, well then, If you really love someone, you want to please them and do whatever they request. So what are the first works? This is important to know. Shouldn't we find out what the Holy Ghost was doing in the early church? Well, there's seven areas I'd like to share with you. First of all, there was the infilling and the overflowing, if you will, of the Holy Ghost baptism. Remember what Paul said in Acts, the 19th chapter, verse 2, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And what did they say? "We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But listen to this, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Beloved, that's the right of every single believer today. We also have that same wonderful invitation and privilege to be filled with the Spirit. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. So we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Also, there's a witness that's involved. Everyone, think about the history of the early church, whether they were Jew or Greek, they heard the Word of God in 2 years' time. To the devil, when the Word of God comes and is spoken by a believer, it's like a sharp sword. Then there's the laying on of hands and healing. There's the anointing, which is transferable. Note the use of prayer cloths in Acts, the 19th chapter, verses 11 through 12. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So these were the laying on of hands. Those are one of the foundational doctrines of the church. Also, there is discernment that was characteristic of that early church. There was a showing forth between true and false ministries. And what made the difference, I believe, a lot was involved in terms of motives and values. Isn't that not surprising, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Remember that they were accused of not lying to men, but to the Holy Ghost. And as a result, they both were struck down in death. And also, there's a portion of scripture in Acts, the 13th chapter. He was a sorcerer, Elymas. And he basically thought he could buy the gift of God. And in verse 10, it says, and this was Paul responded and said, "O full of all deceit and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" So their discernment is given to us as we walk with the Holy Spirit, because he is the Spirit of truth. And then there's the name of the Lord was magnified. And that's what we need to do. We need to make it bigger. The rightful position of the name of Jesus, that name which is above every name. God hath highly exalted him. There's something about that name. And then there was repentance from dead works. Remember, once there was a belief, there was a turning away from all the idolatry, all the occult practices. The books were burned. And also we see that the Word of God grew mightily, which indicates perseverance. Acts 19 and 20 declares, "So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed." That's a little different emphasis than in that second point I mentioned, which is about witness, which we're all required to do and asked to do. And as we keep putting the Word out, eventually it will prevail. People can unplug and then they don't let the Word prevail. Sometimes there's a time factor. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. Praise God. So the name of Jesus is our power of attorney. That name is very, very powerful. Unfortunately, today a lot of the newer translations are dropping out the name of Jesus. And why should that be? Well, you know, every time all these new translations are copyrighted, and so in order to get copyright, it has to be different from what went before. And as a result, and also it's a concerted effort, I believe, of the one worlders to get a Bible that's going to be acceptable to all kinds of different faiths. We can all come together in one world religion, that there's just a concerted effort to take away the lordship of Jesus, his blood, his name. And that's why, you know, the devil would work in such a way, because that name is so important. Praise God. Well, there's more to share, but I need to stop right here because I'd like to make a very special announcement regarding some revival services that I'll be ministering at along with a team this coming weekend. It's May 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at 7 p.m. at the Lighthouse Gospel Church on the Hoopa Reservation. That's northwestern California, not far from Eureka. The actual address is Highway 96, Shoemaker Road in Hoopa. The zip is 95546. And I can give you the contact information with Pastor Chopsy Moonhorn. That phone number is area code 530-625-4771. That's 530-625-4771. And this is, you know, it's up in Northern California. We were there a couple years ago, myself and Jim and Debbie Erickson, for a wonderful time. And Hill and Elena Smith are joining us. Pastor Hill is a member of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, and Elena is a member of the Shoshone Paiute Tribes of Duck Valley. They've had, goodness, probably 38 years of experience in church work and ministry. They've pastored on the Cherokee, Shoshone, Paiute, Coeur d'Alene, and Nez Perce reservations. They taught in Tohola, Washington at a Bible college. They have established and pastored and overseen for 18 years the Native American Missionary Evangelistic Outreach in Lapway, Idaho. They've traveled and ministered as evangelists to many different Indian reservations in the United States, in Alaska, in the Hawaiian Islands. They've traveled internationally and are a very seasoned, anointed apostolic and prophetic ministry. So I'm making this announcement. This broadcast goes past the Canadian border. If you're in the area, give Pastor Chopsy a call if you'd like to join us. Praise God. Well, my time is gone, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website unveiledchrist.org and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho 83606, or send her an email through our website unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,